Praise the Lord. You glad you got a Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
You glad you're in church? Say amen.
Amen.
Enjoyed the singing? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I promise you I'll be quick. I mean, when I tell you I'll be quick, I'm going to be finished in 10, 15 minutes, all right? I'm just going to deal with a thought that kind of has been on my mind since last Tuesday night. I shared in Bible college, we were talking in 1st or 2nd Peter chapter number 1 about adding to our faith. And as we talk about adding to our faith, the very first thing that we're to add to our faith is virtue. That's morally right. That's doing the right things. That's knowing we're doing what we know to do. That's morally right things. But I said this in Bible college, that there's a lot of people that are struggling doing the right things and adding to their faith because they've not laid the groundwork of faith. Amen. See, they're trying to be a Christian, but they aren't one. All right. Is everybody okay? That ain't one of them sermons we want to hear this morning, but it's the truth. We got a lot of people that are trying to be Christians and they're not Christians. Okay. Now, there's some people that are trying to be Christians and everybody knows you ain't. It's okay. I'll go say it on this side. There's some people that are trying to be Christians, but everybody knows you ain't. Right? There ain't no doubt about it. Say, preacher, you judging. I am not judging. I'm just saying, according to Jesus, that you'll know them by their fruits. Amen? And so when you see a lot of bad fruit, you can just make the assumption that the tree was bad. I will preach for 3 hours. Somebody gonna help me. I'm just talking common sense right now. All right. If it's bad fruit, it just makes sense that it's a bad tree. That's common sense. I don't need some biblical interpretation. I don't need Facebook to tell me to judge not lest you be judged. That's just common sense. And so there are some that though they claim to be saved, it's evident that you're not. And just because you say I'm sorry doesn't mean that you're saved. Judas said he was sorry. Bible says he's burning in hell. So, everybody all right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. I'm going to read one verse. Verse number 5. Let me give you a little background what's going on. This church here at Corinth is questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. Now, Paul founded this church. And Paul founded this church on his second missionary trip. And Paul spent a year and a half at this church. He spent a year and a half at this church, 18 months, pouring his life into these people, the church at Corinth. And now people have come into the church and they're questioning Paul's authority as an apostle to teach what he was teaching. That theme carries with every church that Paul started. You got somebody that wants to come in on somebody else's labor and somebody else's fruit, and then they want to just mess it up. Still going on today. Preachers are building, they're working hard going after it and putting all the labor in and building a church, and then some disgruntled church member that comes in, don't think about God, but about 2 hours a week, comes in and starts problems with everybody, gets everybody riled up at the preacher, they fire the preacher, run him off, and everything else because of bad fruit. So Paul, while they're addressing Paul and while they're accusing Paul and while they're saying, Paul, you ain't got no business being up there doing what you're doing, Paul says this, verse number 5, examine yourselves. Is everybody all right? Paul says, examine yourselves. You got a lot to say about everything else. How about you take a good look at yourself. You got a lot to say about how church ought to be. You got a lot to say about what I'm teaching. You got a lot to say about everything in the world. But Paul says, hey, wake up! Examine yourself. whether you be in the faith. You know what Paul said? Let me just put it in understanding, like you and I. He said, look here, you need to figure out whether or not you even saved. How would you like that? Now, preacher, I just don't think we ought to be doing this anymore. The preacher come back and say, hey, look here, man, you need to just look, examine yourself, whether you even saved. Everybody all right? Paul says this. He says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. In other words, this is what Paul's saying. He said, you know whether or not you saved. I'm just going to go ahead and say that too. You know whether or not you saved. We got a lot of folks that are going through all the motions, and they know how to put on Christianity, and they know how to put on a suit, they know how to put on a speech. They know how to talk right when they get into church. I need somebody to say amen. You son, oh, and then they get into church. Oh, Jesus is just blessed. Bless it, Lord, but you was blessing everybody else outside the church. Everybody all right? Come to church cussing everybody in the car, telling them how much you're sick of them and everything else, and get into church. Oh, glory, hallelujah. 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 And it just wonder, is everybody all right? Don't get lost on me just yet, all right? We know how to put on for those that we're around. I remember I moved out of the house at 17 years old, and I was rough, man. I'm telling you, I was rough. And come back when I didn't have that restriction of having mama and daddy around all the time, and I cussed, I mean. Then you get in the house, and I need somebody to help me. I had a mama like this. You cuss in front of my mama, you're going to get the backhand. Now, she might cuss you while she was doing it. She might cuss you while you was doing it, but bless God, you wasn't going to cuss in front of my mama. Is everybody with me? And so you're liable to get the backhand soap washing the whole nine yards from mama and while she was cussing you, but you weren't going to cuss. That's a theme of my life. Don't cuss while she cussed me. Don't smoke. My daddy had to beat me. He had to put a cigarette out so he could beat me for smoking. I grew up in one of them homes, all right? Dysfunctional, to say the least. And I'm just kidding. Y'all know my mama. She comes around here, my stepdad. I love them both, and they raised me. I'm proud of my raising, but y'all know what I'm saying. I'll never forget my mama dragging me in the house. Glenn, you need to tear his behind up. I caught him outside smoking. Daddy's like, really? Come on, boy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all grew up in that too, all right? As we're looking at this passage of scripture this morning, Paul says, examine yourselves. You know whether or not you're saved. I ain't got to tell you. It shouldn't be. I'm not the measuring tape. I'm not the deciding factor in your salvation. And you're playing a game. You're playing a game. And if you're not careful, you're going to lose the game. You're not going to get a second chance at it. Today could be your last day. And I know you got it all figured out. I'm going to live till I'm 70 years old. On my deathbed, I'm going to come to Jesus. But I like to say this, a lot of them deathbed salvations, I know I'm going to make somebody mad, but a lot of them, people didn't get saved. Didn't get saved, no more than Judas got saved when he come back in there and threw all the change onto the floor and said, oh, I did wrong. Then went out and hung himself. And the Bible says he went to his place. The plea this morning from this preacher and from Paul is to examine yourselves. This thing started all the way back in Bible college on Tuesday night when we said to add to our faith. And there's so many people that are sitting around. They're trying to do the works of a Christian. They're trying to do the things. They're struggling and they're fighting and they're doing all these things. And the fact is that they aren't saved. Jesus said it like this over in Matthew chapter number 7. Go to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 20, please, ma'am, if you will. And we'll read through verse 23. And but Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 20. And Jesus is speaking. Remember I told y'all about them fruits? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, if you got red letter Bible, it's written in red. Next verse. Everybody with me? Here comes the next verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Keep on going. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's it. I was going to stop on that last verse. Thank you. There's going to be people that's going to stand before God and say, but I did this and I did that in your name. I went to church in your name. I worshiped. I sang in your name. Hey, I preached in your name. I taught in your name. I did all these wonderful works. According to the Bible, he'll say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. The question this morning, I told you I was going to be done, and I'm trying to get done. I really am. The question this morning is, are you saved? Say, preacher, that's just a message for people that are visiting our church. Where is Miss Jennifer? Stand up, please. She got saved Wednesday morning because of Tuesday night. Miss Jennifer, how long you been coming to church here? About a year and a half. Where's Miss Leanne? Isn't Miss Leanne here this morning? She got saved Tuesday night. Hey, how long both of y'all, how long you professed to be saved before? As long as her parents told her, you can have a seat. Say, well, why in the world would she say something like that? Because some of you is going off an experience that somebody else had. And they're telling you how you should be.
That's right.
I think I use Miss Melissa Strong as an example of this. Miss Melissa Strong, she grew up thinking she got saved. She didn't have it nailed down in her life. You understand something? It doesn't matter whether somebody else thinks you're saved. I need somebody to help me right here. It does not matter, Miss Tammy, if I think you're saved. Because at the end of it all, you'll stand before God and you will answer for your life, not me. I mean, if I was answering for your life, I'd go ahead and tell God, you ought to let them in. They come to church. I like them. Not some of y'all. Some of y'all would be like, hey, just between me and you, Lord. Can we step up here? I'm just kidding. I like all y'all a little bit. But I'm not going to answer for somebody else's life. As much as I want to, I ain't going to answer for this one right here. This is my son, my youngest. And as much as I want to answer for him, as much as I'd love to stand before God and say, he's saved, I can't do that. Because only he knows whether or not he's saved. My daughter, who was up there singing and crying. I love her, but I cannot. Where's she at? She go out and smoke a cigarette or what? Where's she going? I'm looking for her. KK, where are you at? She's in the nursery. She is smoking. Only way you can put up with them kids. Somebody say amen. My oldest one. He sang up here. Y'all ain't gonna lie to you. Every time that boy gets up there and sings, I feel God. I do. God's all over that youngin. Man, he gets up there and sings. It just blesses my heart. It really does. But here's the thing. I can't truly answer for him. There's a lot of people that have great talent. There's a lot of people that have done great works. According to that Bible, they can stand before God and say, I've done many wonderful works in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Miss Lucy, another example of somebody taught Sunday school in this church for 19 years. January the 29th, 2012. Catches me over in the fellowship hall. Preacher, I need to get saved. Ha ha, what? Huh? got a death grip on me. If you'll turn me loose, I'll go get my wife and she can show you how to be saved, Miss Lucy. 19 years taught Sunday school right here in the church.
That's right. Come on.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Lost. Couldn't get my mind off of it. Started to teach on it Wednesday night. Started to deal with it Wednesday night. Started to mess with it. Couldn't get my mind off of it all week. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What's some indicators that I'm in the faith? Well, first, it has to be conviction. It has to be conviction. If you're in the faith, there was a time where you were convicted of your sin. Everything that I said about, hey, he took your place. When I tell you that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for you, if that don't do something for you, then I question whether or not you've even experienced the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Because one of the deciding factors of getting saved, Brother Sheldon, tell me if I'm wrong, is realizing who I am and who he is. See, I have to realize that I'm a sinner and I can't help myself, but I got to realize that he's a Savior. And he is who God has given for me so that I can be saved. But I have to understand the weight of my sin. That is conviction. When I understand that my life, who I am a sinner, and if I die, I'm going to hell for my sin. That brings conviction. According to the Bible, the Father draws us. I believe it's in John chapter number 12, verse number 32 or something around there. It says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw them into me. That happened at the cross. But in John chapter number 6, I believe it's in verse number 44, it said that the Father would draw you and I to him. You didn't wake up one day and decide, I'm going to get saved today. I'm going to say that over here. You didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I decided I'm going to get saved today. Hey, preacher, I went ahead and made a decision. I'm going to get saved today. Not how it works. There's a drawing. Now, you may call the preacher and say, hey, I want to get saved. But there was a drawing. There was a change. Another indicator. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. There was a change. To me, this is one of the biggest indicators of somebody that got saved. They ain't the same person they used to be. Yeah. I'm not the same person that I used to be. And some of y'all need to be very thankful for that. Amen. I'm being as honest as I can be. I'm telling you right now, some of you need to be very thankful. You need to thank God every single day that I'm not the person that I used to be.
That's right.
There's some people in this community that need to thank God every day of their life that I'm not the person that I used to be.
Amen. Come on.
Because if I was the person that I used to be, they'd be some people walking around here with some deformities and may not even be walking around.
Amen.
God began a work in my life. I'm not the same person that I used to be.
Amen.
I'm not. I'm not perfect by no means. None. My wife will tell you, I am not perfect. Matter of fact, my friends will tell you that I am not perfect. My staff will tell you that I am not perfect. But there ain't nobody that knows me that can deny that God has changed my life. So the question is to you, what changes in your life? What changes in your life? Has there been conviction? Was there a time you just decided? I heard somebody tell me, I've been saved as long as I can remember. What? Had somebody else tell me, I've always been saved. No. No, sure ain't. Ain't always been saved. I ain't always been saved. If that's your testimony, I need somebody to help me right here. You lost.
That's right.
Has there been a change in your life? I ain't talking about just one little thing. I mean, even lost people can decide to lose weight and do it.
That's right.
Let me move on to this side over here. Even lost people decide to lose weight and do it. So just because you did something doesn't mean that your life changed. Just because you quit cussing don't mean your life changed. Just because you quit drinking because you were an alcoholic and it was destroying your life doesn't mean that you And then lastly, and I'm done, and they're fixing to get ready. Another indicator of it is chastisement. We got a new game we play. When I get the house, Wyatt, my grandson, he makes up stuff that Mimi does wrong. We're dealing with an issue of lying right here, but Pop can't beat him. Okay, so anyhow, I just ain't to that place yet. But he come in last night. We got back from Gatlinburg last night. We walked in the house and we said he was I think he was asleep when we got there. He woke up and we getting our hugs and he's loving all over Pop and everything else. And I went to do something. I think I was emptying my suitcase and getting it all put back up. And he comes running back in there and he says, Pop. Puts his hands on his hips. Pop. Mimi. And you could see the wheels turning. Took my belt. That's what he told me last night. He come in, he's like, I can hear the little feet coming down the hall, and he said, Pop. Mimi took my belt. He said, go spank her with your hard belt. This is what he calls my hard belt, the one that I have on right now. He calls this one my hard belt, and because it's stiff. And anyhow, he says, go spank Mimi, because she took my belt. Now, I enjoy spanking Mimi. Somebody say amen. So I'm like, I'm coming down the hall, and she's saying, you do it, and I'll beat you. But your grandbabies, you got to take care of your baby. I need somebody to help me. You got. I don't want him to lose his faith in grandpa. So a lot of times, if he's not looking, I'll get the pop, and she don't get nothing. But anyhow, he'll be like. But every now and then, he's looking, and I just have to go ahead and spank Mimi. It usually relates to how me and Mimi's, how our day is going. But here's one thing here's one thing about chastisement. Now, we do that, and it's a joke now, and I'm thankful that I don't have to beat anybody anymore. But my youngins will tell you, I did not spare the rod in our house.
Amen.
All right? It was my job and my responsibility to correct them. And that's what I did. My biblical responsibility as a father, the head of that home, was to correct my children. Dalton's had beatings. Y'all don't know this, but when Dalton was young, I played softball about 5-6 days a week. I didn't matter where we was at on the ball field. I could holler out Dalton Harrington, and that boy would be at attention in front of me in about 2 minutes. Yes, sir. My daughter, I went to beat her one time, and Brother Scott, she did all this. Y'all know how it is. Told KK, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, I'll be back in 5 minutes. I said, we're going to try this again. So I come back in there about 4 minutes later. I said, it's been 4 minutes. You want to go ahead and get this over with? No, Daddy, I want my 5. I made her lay across that bed where she couldn't do all that running around. I wasn't going to be like my daddy. How many of y'all had the daddy did the helicopter arm? I get too dizzy doing that stuff. I had her lay down. What are you saying? I'm saying that I had the responsibility to correct my children, and I did so.
Amen.
I beat Zach.
Amen.
Maybe beat's too hard of a word for you. I spanked him. Is that better for you? The responsibility of a father is to chastise, to correct. Matter of fact, in Proverbs, it says that a father is to correct his child. In Hebrews chapter number 12, these are the last verses I'm reading. in Hebrews chapter number 12. It says in verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and ye are bastards and not sons." That just literally means illegitimate. In other words, you're not who you say you are. You can take that off the screen. Some youngin' be said it at school or something like that. But he said there's a chance that you're illegitimate. So this morning, the sermon is this: examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, has there been a time of conviction in your life that led to repentance? Has there been a change in your life? And when you get out of line, does God persuade you back? Now listen, let's not look at God as somebody that's going to beat us and all this other stuff, because I'm thankful for the mercy of God. God's mercy. God's had a lot more mercy on me than I've had on my kids. I will say that. But as a father and as my father, he's had to correct me more than once. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me. A question's being asked. Examine yourself whether or not you be of the faith. This morning, do you know you're saved? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you know if you were to die right now, that you'd go to heaven? Those that are getting baptized, you come on and move towards the back. Examine yourselves. Just this week, people that's been in our church for over a year, people that's claimed to be saved for over 10, 15 years have examined themselves and realized that they're trying to build upon a foundation that ain't there. And there's nothing more frustrating than trying to spiritually grow without having a foundation of Christ. So examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Nobody's moving around. I want you to sit real still. Nobody's looking around. But if you were to die right this moment, sitting in the chair that you are sitting in, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I'm asking this to visitors. I'm asking this to church members. I'm asking this to the patriarchs of the church. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? If there's doubt, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just slip your hand up. You ain't got to move other. Just show me your hand so I know how to end the service. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there anybody, be honest with this preacher? Preacher, I'm not sure. Just lift your hand right up where I see it. Is there anybody like that? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I am thankful for this morning. Thank you for our choir, Lord. Thank you for what you allowed us to experience, what you allow us to partake of every single Sunday. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for a time in my life, Lord, where you saved me. Lord, as wicked as I was, God, you love me. God, you've shown me mercy. Lord, you died for me. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'd all get this settled in our heart. Lord, I don't want anybody to come to this church and die and go to hell from this church. Lord, may we examine ourselves. And Lord, by examining ourselves, if we find ourselves to be saved, may it put a bigger burden on our heart to reach others. Because there are people out there that don't know, and one day they'll stand before God and they'll give an account of their life. And Lord, if they're not saved, then Lord, they're going to hear, depart from me. God, may that be what inspires us, motivates us, and drives us to witness to others, to tell others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They get ready.